Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
You're out there in L.A., the Lakers, all right? The Lakers are struggling, as our man Joe Namath would say. They've lost six of their last seven.
Struggling.
Seven of their last nine. And since LeBron's come back, they've lost two straight. Or since he was back. He's out tonight. He re-aggravated his ankle injury, so he's out tonight. And the few games he played, he wasn't able to really help them much. He played fine, but they couldn't win. And they lost to bad teams, all right? Sacramento without two of its best players. Toronto without two of its best players. And the Lakers are in sixth place as they play Denver tonight without LeBron, so that could be an L.
They could be in seventh place by the game. That's going to be an L. You already know.
I would think so. But they could be in seventh place and in the play-in after tonight because Portland plays Atlanta. That's going to be a tough one for Portland, but they may win that. So what are your thoughts? I mean, I'm not ready to write off the Lakers, but obviously they got major concerns.
Hey, Iowa Sam, look in the drop file for throw the towel in. Because I'm throwing the towel in on the Lakers. I told you this before, that they had too many things that needed to go right. You know, like trying to piece
it
together.
You said it. Was that when LeBron got hurt?
Yeah.
You said it at some point. You said they're done. I don't know if it was when he got hurt or before that.
I'm throwing the towel in on the Lakers only from the standpoint that LeBron's already said he's not going to be 100%. He's already got his out.
Well, he said that for the rest of his career. Which
right.
I don't,
but that doesn't bode well for this year.
I think he just, right.
Considering where they are and how they've looked. Chris, you just laid it out. Sacramento without their two best players. Toronto comes in down by 12 early, throttles them. Really? Don't let the score fool you. Toronto handled the Lakers. That's with LeBron. That's with AD. Right? And here's the other thing. The squad that maybe people thought, you remember people were talking about it. Oh, they won the championship and they won the offseason. Oh, this team is so much better than the team that won the championship. I just don't buy into that.
They were the second seed in the West when healthy. So they were playing well before all the injuries.
I still don't believe that they were better than the team that won the championship. And I'm talking about maybe on paper, Chris, but you know there's a difference between being on paper and actually playing and the chemistry and cohesiveness. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a difference. You can look at paper all you want and say, oh, God, they're great on paper. So AD wasn't looking good, Chris, before the injury.
Chamberlain compared to what he's been looking like since he got back from the injury.
Right, but even before that, you talked about it. We both talked about it. We thought with the championship in his back pocket, with the whole idea that he would come out, be aggressive, be the MVP of the league, let LeBron take some rest, a backseat, and gear up to the championship, right? That's what we thought. And he didn't come out that way. And then I know he got injured, but he didn't come out that way.
It's disappointing that he didn't. I mean, honestly, that
should have been the game plan.
Yeah,
am I right or wrong?
Makes me wonder, man. Like, you're basically taking the season off, but you've mailed it in this season.
And that shouldn't happen from him.
No, he's what, 28 years old or something like that?
Right, he's too young to not feel like he should have gone out and said, you know what? I got my championship. LeBron's still here now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my MVP, Chris, in my back pocket. I could get both of them and then have a chance to go back to back. And once you do that, you change the perception of you, of who you are as a player.
Absolutely.
And it just didn't feel like Anthony Davis had that game plan going into the season. And you just said it again, since he's been back. And I'm not here to – I don't know how hurt people are, and I'm not going to rip on people coming back from injuries or where they are. But he just hadn't been that good. And when you look at this team and that Sacramento loss, I watched the Laker postgame show. I mean, it was like what do you call those dolls they give out with the heads that bob?
Bobbleheads.
Bobbleheads. I know, right? I was going to call
those
them
dolls with the heads that
bobble. Bobble, right. They were all bobbling their heads, Chris, because they couldn't understand it. Like
was that worthy?
Yeah, you know, they were just like what? Like right. These games are so important. What are they doing? You just had Sacramento and Toronto at home. Chris, well, those should be wins.
No doubt.
I'm out on the Lakers. I just think too many things have to go right, and already we've seen that they haven't. And you know what? I think the season might be better off them going into the playoff game, playing game and losing. And that might be the way this season ends.
Oh, you? But what do you mean better off, though?
No, I'm just mean that's the way because...
Oh, that's how
just,
I could...
Yeah, it could end that way because there's just so much that they would have to overcome in order to try to win another championship.
Well, for them to... If they... Let's say, hypothetically, they finish seventh. For them to not even make the playoffs, they'd have to lose to Memphis in a one-and-done, which, you know, could happen. I mean, I wouldn't pick it. But, yeah, one-and-done, anything can happen. Then they would play the winner of the 9-10 game. And that team, let's say it's Golden State, would have to beat the Lakers twice.
Right.
Right? So it's still unlikely if they get the 7th or 8th seed that they won't make the playoffs. But anything's possible at this point. I'm going to break it down like this for Laker fans. And like I said, I'm not ready to totally write them off, but I hear where you're coming from, Rob. Number one, here's some of their concerns. LeBron James. The health. All right, 6-7 years ago, LeBron would have been back much earlier from this ankle injury, and he would have been fine once he got back. But now, that's Rob. This is what happens. People think you retire. What? You retire because you can't play basketball anymore? No, you get old. The superstars get old. It takes you a lot longer to recover from injury, right? You can't play at as high a level as consistently. And you wonder, is Father Time, I'm sure being 36 years old in his 18th year, has something to do with this injury and how long it's taken him to get back, just like it did a few years ago. So that's number one. And then, Rob, we've said it many times. When LeBron came back 2 years ago, he wasn't able to carry them. He probably needed more of a ramp up, right? More time to get going.
And don't you remember? He was like playoff.
Right. He thought he was fine.
Activated. And he went out there and they lost to 3 or 4 bad teams and it cost them.
They went 8-13, Rob, after he came back. And then he shut it down. He maybe wasn't ready, but that might be the case now. He might not get close to 100% and he probably won't be able to carry them if that's the case. Secondly, you mentioned it, AD. Here's the numbers, Rob. Since he's come back from injury, 16.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 39% shooting, 18% from three. Think about
that. Not pretty.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's not even – that is downright bad.
Right. And Andre Drummond with those two, how's that working out?
Not well. And I'm glad you brought that up because
– it's not working.
His AD, the net rating with AD and AD, both of them are ADs, Drummond and Anthony Davis on the court, is -6.6.
Yep, there you go.
When it's Anthony Davis and Mark Gasol, Rob, it's +8.8.
Wow.
And you heard last night, I don't know if you saw it, Kyle Kuzma said, we got issues. We're not together, not as a team, not as a staff. And one thing he said is Mark Gasol should be playing more. Rob, you've been covering sports a long time. We both have. That tells me that there may be whispers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he ain't the only one like, yo, we need Gasol getting more minutes.
Because they see it and they understand it. And it was nice. And I'm not, Andre Drummond's a fine player, Chris. I'm not here to rip on him. But I don't know if he really fits. And that's the issue. And players know it. You know what I mean? You don't think they know that number?
They like the floor spread, right?
Yes.
The Lakers, that would open things up for AD to be not only outside, but inside as well. Opens up the lane for LeBron. So, yeah. Now, and here's the thing. You mentioned Drummond. Rob, look at the paper. On paper, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 53% shooting in 25 minutes a night. You would look at that and be like, oh, this is great.
Where do I sign up?
Right. But he's the worst defensive player on the team, and that's shown in the stats. And what, to me, and like you said, I'm not trying to rip him. These are just, I'm just pointing it out.
These are just numbers, right?
Right.
These are numbers.
Rob, he's doing what he's done throughout his career. His numbers are great. They were great in Detroit. They were great the little bit of time he played for Cleveland.
But you don't win any games.
No. You don't win. And so the Lakers got, and then Dennis Schroeder, now he could be out the rest of the regular season with COVID protocol.
That's another one, yep.
And I'm going to end with this, Rob, because you said something that a lot of people might try to call you on, but I know what you meant. You said too many things have to go right. Similar for Brooklyn, right? Harden's got to get right. KD's got to stay right. They got some things too, but here's the difference. It is harder to work in the Lakers' stars than it is the Nets. And even though LeBron is, you know, we both say the second greatest player ever, you don't just drop LeBron James into a lineup.
No, he's the lineup.
Right. Everything's going to change.
Right.
And to be honest, even though he's not as good as LeBron, same thing with Anthony Davis, and to a far lesser extent, Andre Drummond, because, Rob, none of them are great shooters. None of them are catch-and-shoot guys.
Right.
You know? So they have to have the ball, particularly LeBron and AD. They need the ball. And so now, remember, the Lakers were actually playing pretty decently before AD came back because guys were starting to understand, okay, now this is my role. We're getting some stuff together. And then you bring AD back and everything changes. Then you bring LeBron back and everything changes again. Whereas with any of the three in Brooklyn, Harden, but particularly Durant, and then Kyrie as well, you can drop them in because they're such good shooters.
Absolutely.
That's the thing.
There's a big difference there.
Huge difference. KD, just drop him in. He'll take 17 shots. He'll take 15 shots and get you 30-something.
Right. No doubt.
So you don't have to change everything because they all can shoot the basketball. So – yeah, Rob's writing them off. I'm not ready to go that far yet, but there certainly are issues in La La Land.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Aaron Rodgers situation. And Rob, we talked about it with Charlie about the timing being strange because everybody, all the reporters, the plugged in NFL reporters, are saying that this stems from the drafting of Jordan Love. And we all know he was upset. He talked about, what was it, his scotch. He had five fingers of scotch or whatever it was he said. And we get that. But then you go out and have an MVP season. And then a year, and then after that season, you start complaining. It's a strange thing. And I'm going to say this. I do think Aaron Rodgers is being whiny. All right, we get it. You didn't like the drafting of Jordan Love. But let me say this, Rob. If anybody should understand it, it should be Aaron Rodgers because he was in that very same position. And he sat for 3 years. So he should be able to understand how, okay, they drafted this guy, But it doesn't mean they're getting rid of me right now. I'm going out and doing my thing, and that's what he did. And I do think that, and I don't know if he has a problem with the personnel, but we talked with Charlie about it. I think they got good personnel. I mean, they've been 13-3 the last 2 years. They got a good coach. The call in the playoff game, notwithstanding, he's still a good coach, Matt LaFleur. You got Devontae Adams. You mentioned the tight end that you love. Aaron Jones was the fourth leading rusher in the league. The offensive line ranked second in the league last year. The defense was solid.
I think in the playoff, they lost one of their best offensive linemen. Didn't they lose him? Remember he got hurt?
And they still played okay.
Right.
Yeah, so I just
– David Bakhtiari, that's the guy who got hurt, Chris.
Yep. I just think that he is being whiny. But I'm going to say this, Rob, and because sports ain't fair. Life ain't fair sometimes. And LeBron James gets certain concessions that Alex Caruso doesn't. All right? Michael Jordan got certain concessions that Judd Bushler did not.
Chris Broussard gets time off that Rob Parker does.
Stop it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Parker's been to Antarctica, hobnobbing with the Golden Girls. Golden Girls impersonators, whatever they were.
Yeah, right. That's what it was. most of them were in drag. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to say this, Rob. As much as I do believe Aaron Rodgers is being whiny and just, I'm going to call it like it is, a bit of a baby. All right, your feelings were hurt. Okay, get over it. Put your big boy pants on. All right, you're one of the best to ever do it. We'll be fine. We got a chance to win a Super Bowl, dude. What are you doing? Okay, as much as I feel that way, if the reports are true that if they fire GM Brian Gutekunst and all will be well, with Aaron Rodgers, he'll come back, smile on his face, ready to rock and roll and go for a Super Bowl. Here's what I got to say for Brian Gutekunst, Rob. One word. Bye. Bye. You're gone. You're out of here. Brian Gutekunst isn't going to catch a pass. He's not going to make a block. He's not going to make a tackle. I'm sorry. It might not be fair, but that's the way it is. I got to keep Aaron Rodgers and try to win this Super Bowl. Bye.
It's always about the player. We already know that. Unless you own the team, that's the only time that you win out over the player. But anybody working for the team and there's a disagreement, the player's always going to be kept. Because the game is about players, so I don't think that there would be any question about it.
Do you think they're going to do it? I don't know.
No, I'm not saying that I think that that's going to happen. I think Charlie hit the nail on the head. I think this is a ploy for money because it can't be about the Jordan love. The timing doesn't work,
right,
Chris.
It doesn't make sense.
The timing doesn't work. The time to make a stink was last year to really make a stink and let people know. How upset, and I'm not talking about ripping the kid or anything, but just saying, like, this makes no sense. You know, you could have been.
You could have just done it behind closed doors.
Right, and you could have done what you saying, hey, I don't know if I'm coming back. This is ridiculous. We went to the NFC Championship game last year. I needed a little more help. All you had to do was go, you know what I mean, help the team, and you didn't do it. Why wouldn't you do it when we still have a good squad? So if that was the argument back then, that's fine. The timing of this just doesn't make sense that it's still about Jordan Love. It has to be more than this, Chris, because you just mentioned it. Despite Jordan Love sitting there and taking reps or watching practice, I'm sure he's not taking many reps, watching practice or whatever, Aaron Rodgers just had probably his finest season. Maybe one other season, Chris, was equal on par.
Right.
To what he just did. Right? It was arguably his best season. What do you have, 48 touchdowns? I mean, he was magnificent, plain and simple.
Right.
So it didn't affect him where he didn't want to play or Jordan Love screwed them, let them put Jordan Love in. I'm going to throw 20 picks, Do you know what I mean? Like, you could have sabotaged it if you really wanted to do so or not play.
Which was right. Admirable. Right.
So I just, it doesn't make sense. I think he just had this great year. Charlie mentioned that he got all of his money up front. Now everything, there's no more guaranteed money, Chris. It's all dead money. And coming off a year like that, it's like he wants them to pay. Like that, like he wants them to pay. And you know, then, you see the guys around getting $40 and $50 million who aren't even close to him. I mean, they just gave Dak Prescott $40 million.
Charlie, you know, it's hard to argue with the statement, it's always about money. Because so often it is. I get that. But Rob, if it's about the money, then he ain't walking away, right? I mean, he's made over $270 million in his career.
Oh, he's made a lot of money, right?
So if he were to retire, if he's going to, you know, plant his flag and say, I'm not playing for you again, he'd have to give them back like $22 million over the next 2 years. I don't see him doing that. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe the reports about Gutekunst? Like, if he gets him, if he's gone, then Rodgers is okay.
I think there's a middle ground. I don't believe that it's that simple. I think it's more about maybe if this guy were to grovel, admit that he made a mistake and how he handled it, and, you know, open the lines of communication going forward. There's a happy medium. I just to say that he wants his blood. They could come up with a happy medium, Chris, and some sort of payout or bonus. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that would work more so than just strictly, all right, you fire him, I'll be back to work tomorrow. I mean, there would still probably have to be things to work out.
But that, right. I mean, again, we're just going off the report.
It's just speculation. We don't know, right.
Has something to do with it. But, Rob, here's the thing, and I think we've talked about this before. When a guy isn't, because obviously if he's willing to walk away, then he's questioning, I think, how much he wants to play. I get it. Oh, I want to play, not in Green Bay. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But if you're willing to retire over that, when you got a team that's been to the NFC title game the last 2 years?
I'd have to hear Aaron Rodgers say that before I start to believe that. He would retire. Yeah, that's hard for me to believe, Chris. I know that there's jockeying and positioning.
Yeah, I think a lot of this.
You know what I mean?
Exactly that.
Yeah, you know how that is. You posture. Oh yeah, I might just quit. I remember when I was covering the Nets, and players were looking for more money, Chris, and they were negotiating, and they would use me through the newspaper. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Give me inside information on what's going on. And then I remember one player telling me that he was thinking about going to Europe to play if he doesn't get the deal that he wants. Now, you think he was going to Europe, Chris?
Right. No.
I wrote it anyway. You know what I mean?
Right, right,
it made the story juicy.
Right,
I get it. But that was posturing. He ain't going to Europe.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. But look, this has gotten ugly. And it's going to be interesting to see how Rodgers handles it. Because I think Charlie's right that they're not going to trade him. Now, whether they get rid of the GM or not, we'll see. But I don't think they're going to trade him. At least not anytime soon.
Do you know what I mean? To save face, bring in another guy. Move the GM into something else. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't want it to appear.
Yeah, because I'm sure they don't want to fire him.
Nah, because that would just make it like, well, what are we doing here? And, Chris, remember, all the other people in the front office, they don't want to do it either because maybe I'm next. If we just did that, if Aaron Rodgers just pulled this on him.
Oh, yeah.
Now he can do it to anybody else.
It puts a target on your back.
Right.
There was already talk he got rid of Mike McCarthy.
So, I think it's... It's tougher to just give in to that without it making it like he had ultimate power. And then again, how does that look for teammates? Some might be like, man, that dude's the man. Other guys might not like it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he running the team now. Oh, I got dropped down to second string or third string. Aaron Rodgers probably whispered in their ear. Do you know, like there's all kind of stuff you start to think. Like, was that a move for management or did Aaron want me out?
No, it can put, I mean, I think a ton of guys would just, they respect him and you know what I mean? They want him back at all costs.
Right, oh yeah.
But
oh,
yeah, no you doubt. Never know. I mean, that stuff can seep into people's minds for sure. Even LeBron, I mean, with, you know, him kind of running a lot of the teams he's been
Chris,
on.
Chris, the Anthony Davis trade and all those players. What happened to the young players?
Right, when they got bothered. As great as he is, they were bothered by it.
They were shook, and they stopped playing. They right from that whole thing.
Yep.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And our next guest played in Green Bay for six seasons, played with not only Aaron Rodgers, but played with Brett Favre. So he's a great guy to talk to about this. Also went to Brigham Young. So we'll get into some Zach Wilson with him. Brady Papinga, is he ready yet? All right, Super Bowl champion, Brady Papinga. Brady, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Always a pleasure to jump on with you.
Great to have you on, my man. Great to have you on. Now, look, we're going to get to the Green Bay situation in a moment. But first, you went to Brigham Young. You always big up their guys. We've had you on here before, and you just sang the praises of the guy down in New Orleans. I don't even need to say his name, all right? But I got to ask you about Zach Wilson. They're excited. I'm up here in the New York area. Everybody's excited about the Jets draft and most notably Zach Wilson. How do you think, let's just say first from his makeup as a person, his character, you know, New York is a different animal. Is he built to handle New York City and all that comes with it?
I mean, he's a very mentally tough kid. He's a kid, though, that this is going to be a culture shock for him.
Right.
He's going to, because at BYU, it's like all you've heard is how good you are. And even, you know, and it's almost like the people that did doubt him last year with the shoulder injury and his shoulder issue, and then he was kind of in question whether or not he's going to be the starter. As soon as he started playing well, it was like, oh, nothing, no doubts there. We're good now. We're a believer. You know, that's not how New York is. They're going to constantly be doubting him and poking and prying, and anytime he slips up, they're going to jump on him. Oh, you're a bust. Oh, we told you this is too big for you. So that's going to be new for him, but to me it's going to come down to simply the program. You know, and if you heard Robert Saleh talk to him when he drafted him, he basically said to him, to Zach, he said, hey, we're going to prop you up. Don't think you're going to come in here carrying us. And that literally, and that's in any quarterbacking situation with young quarterbacks. That's how it has to be. If not, it really doesn't matter the caliber of the quarterback. It doesn't matter the mentality. Because here's the thing, too. Sam Darnold, to me, is equivalent to Zach Wilson. Like, it's just one fresh, and he's got kind of a new start, whereas Sam Darnold was kind of, you know what, he's kind of beat up a little bit and needed a fresh start himself. So that's two contrasts right there. One who didn't have a program to support him in Sam Darnold. Now they shipped him off, and if they have one that can support Zach Wilson, yeah, he can make every throw, man. That guy was making throws that I came accustomed to seeing, like you mentioned in the intro, to only seeing guys like Favre and Rodgers make, because I played against him so many times in practice, thousands after thousands of plays. So anyway, you know, he's going to only go as far as the program, the support system around him will take it.
I was going to say, you know, I hate to, like, just put too much on somebody else, because players still have to perform and do their jobs. But being in the right situation, Brady, and being with the right coach and the right system, it does have a huge impact. When you look at, we've seen it around, like Adam Gase has had failed with some guys. They go elsewhere and they're playing great, you know. And does that really matter, like with the coach and what system they're running and whatnot, and could be the difference between making you and you being a bust?
Absolutely. And the best example is, you know, the segue into Aaron Rodgers, is Aaron Rodgers. Because the first few years, if Aaron would have been thrown into the wolves, between quotations, like Alex Smith was. I'm not sure we are talking about Aaron Rodgers in the same light that we are right now. I don't even know if at that time I fully felt 100% like, yeah, this guy's going to do it. I had my doubts year two, year three, and it took until it was late in the year, in year three, I believe, is 07, when we played the Cowboys and he replaced Favre. I was like, oh, there he is. He looks like he could do this. And up until that point, honestly, I didn't know. You know, and then you look at a guy like Alex Smith, whose their careers are always going to be compared. You know, here he's thrown to the Wolves. He has all these different coordinators, five different offensive coordinators in 5 years. And he was considered a bust. And now he kind of got back on the horse there a little bit with Harbaugh coming into town and, you know, did some good things with Kansas City and all that. And you know, had a great 16-year career. I wouldn't say he was a bust, but there was for surely those comparisons, and there will always be, but if you flip the two, is my point. If you put Aaron in San Francisco under the same circumstances as Alex Smith, and then you put Alex Smith up in Green Bay, you know, I would almost say, not that Alex Smith would have been, like Aaron is right now, a surefire Hall of Famer, but man, he's looked at differently than he is right now, and I would say the same about Aaron Rodgers.
Let's go to Aaron in Green Bay, and we all know what's going on. The reports are that the problem was the Jordan Love draft, which obviously was a year ago. And Aaron came out after that and had the MVP season. Why do you think the timing doesn't make sense if indeed this is about Jordan Love? Do you think it's about more than Jordan Love or something else completely different? Or if not, if you think it's Love, then why now and not a year ago?
Oh, well, it just comes down to communication, you know, and I feel like the Packers are extremely disciplined in their model, obviously. That's why they're doing what they're doing with Jordan Love, what they did with Aaron. You know, I mean, and by the way, this whole drama right now, you know who created it? Was Aaron. The fact that he turned out so well because he replaced Brett gave not only just the Packers, but the whole NFL, like, oh, that's the model. That's what we should do. And that's exactly what they were thinking when they drafted Jordan Love. Like, oh, man, he's going to be our next Aaron Rodgers. This is great. You know, and they don't realize that Aaron Rodgers has a different plan. You know, he's not looking at himself like he's the next Brett Favre.
Right.
You know, he's looking at himself like, I'm Aaron Rodgers. This is it's a different era of quarterbacking. I mean, look at Tom Brady. These guys are going to play well into their 40s now, and it's because they are so protected. They're never going to, you know, unless it's a illegal hit, they're never going to get hit below the knees. They're never going to have that technique, which D linemen and rushers do, where they're going to grab their arm and put their full body mass on them and try to separate their shoulder or break their collarbone as they're taking them to the ground. They're not going to get hit in the head. You know, all those things that happened to Brett and guys before him. And Aaron's looking at that, and he's like, guys, I'm going to play well into my 40s. And so it came down to communication, you know, and I think that's really where the Packers struggle. They're so disciplined to their model at times that they forget that there's a personal element and there's an evolution that happens. And the evolution that's happened is just what I explained. Quarterbacks are going to play a lot longer. So to me, all it takes is being fully open and transparent and basically sitting Aaron down and just saying, hey, man, you know what? It's that time where we don't know what's going to happen with you. We understand that you got a lot of great years ahead. And with those great years, we hope that you play with us, obviously. But at the same time, if you do want to step away, you know, whatever happens, we want to have somebody there that as an insurance policy, we hope you don't take it as a slight if we draft a guy in the first round. And I think the thing that people get so caught up with, too, is draft status doesn't guarantee a player is going to play. Draft status is simply the price the market demanded for a specific player's services coming from college. That's it. After that, after you paid for that, between quotations, asset, now it's you let football take care of itself. And I think that so many times guys get picked, especially in the first or second round, and it's like, well, he's got to play. We got to play. No. He'll play when he shows you he's ready to play. And in the case of Jordan Love, he'll play when Aaron isn't the best quarterback on the team anymore. And that may be 5, 6, 7 years down the road. And so that, to me, needed to be communicated. And it obviously wasn't. And, you know, and I think right now they're trying to make up for that, the Packers. But Aaron, I'll tell you, if you wrong him, it's going to take a bit to get him to come back around and listen to you. That's one thing I know about him.
He sounds like a Capricorn. That's the way I operate. But anyway, Brady, I was going to say this. But the one thing I think that's sometimes lost, and I get it, and everybody's an individual, but if you look at the five greatest quarterbacks in the NFL history, they all finished their career elsewhere. That, like, this is the norm, right? That guys don't get to finish and get their flowers at the end and everybody loves you. Most of these quarterbacks wind up going somewhere else.
And that's because back in the day, their play had dropped off. You know, you look at, like, with Brett Favre, you know, in 2005, he had a terrible season. It was my rookie season in comparison to how he's capable of playing. You know, in 2006, he had kind of a revival, but he wasn't fully invested. You know, he kept vacillating. Am I in? Am I out? Am I retiring? Am I not? By the way, he did that for years. So, Ted Thompson, it was smart for him to be like, yeah, we got to get a replacement. This isn't the same deal. Aaron has never once, before this incident, ever talked about retirement, ever talked about playing for another team, and he came off an MVP caliber year. So it's kind of funny that they're trying to relive this Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers transition when that's not even apples to apples comparison. It's a whole new era for quarterbacking, and that's why Aaron is, like, right now kind of like just beside himself. He just won the NFL MVP, and they don't even want to guarantee him money beyond a year, which who does that?
Right.
You know, especially they're kind of cap strapped. It's like that would be the automatic go-to thing. You keep the MVP, even if it goes against your model, and you just roll with it, and he's your exception. That's fine. You can have exceptions. That's another thing that the Packers struggle with. They struggle with thinking if they do it for one guy, oh, we're going to have to do it for 10 others in the future. Well, you're not going to have 10 other Aaron Rodgers. That's right. Just not right. Going to happen.
All right, that's Brady Papinga, Super Bowl champion, former teammate of Aaron Rodgers. Hey, we enjoyed it, man. Thanks for the insight.
Thanks, Brady. And the last time you were on our show, I can't remember, you were touting something. And what
Taysom
was
Hill.
That? Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, okay, right. The guy who won't be playing, who won't be starting next year.
Well, he'll still be playing quarterback. Even if he doesn't start as the quarterback, he'll still be playing quarterback.
You said he's all that in a bag of chips. He should be starting, right?
Hey, I think he should be starting. I could go on a whole other segment about this. Absolutely. But I don't know if Sean Payton doesn't like the idea of always having kind of a changeup guy coming off the sideline like Taysom to keep defenses guessing, which, by the way, if that is the case, I don't know how Jameis is going to handle that. That's tough for a quarterback.
It's going to be interesting.
All right, we'll see.
We'll have you on to talk about that at another time.
We will definitely do that for sure. Thanks,
have a good evening, Brady. Thank you, brother.
All right, you guys too, guys. Thank you.